We're going to continue with some of the word that we started last week concerning the body of Christ. And just for review, we left off with a verse in the 11th chapter. I'll just read a few verses here, verse 28 through 30. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Okay? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means many are dead. Now, the thought here is not so much the judgment that it brings upon people, although it does bring judgment, that's quite clear. That's not the thought I want to focus on, but the thought of discerning the positive part of this, of discerning the body of Christ. Okay? You see, we don't have to say, if we have a ministry calling, we don't have to put a title, we don't have to put a thing and say, well, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm this, I'm that, there's a responsibility of the body of Christ to discern the body of Christ. Okay? The body should know what is of the body and what is not of the body. And the problem is that the body has not been discerning the body of Christ. How else can we have a situation like we had, I don't know, was it a year, 2 years ago, whatever, where this fellow from Florida was deceiving the whole body of Christ? And people were falling for it. And the antics that were going on, and the man was living in sin. He was not part of the body of Christ, no matter what you say. And neither did the majority of the body of Christ discern the situation. And I just use that as an example, because there's an example of something that has come out into the light, but there's so much more that's still going on, and the body of Christ still is not discerning what is the body of Christ. Just because somebody has enough money to get on television and get an organization going and get enough financing to keep the thing going does not mean it's the body of Christ. Amen? So, discerning the body of Christ includes the discerning of the ministry gifts of the body of Christ. But it also includes discerning the other gifts that we have and the place that we have in the body of Christ. Now, we'll move on to, if you have questions, of course, you can be free to ask them. I think we talked a little bit about what is and what is not the body of Christ. Let me just reiterate again, to be born again does not mean that we have come into the kingdom of God. I mean, I'm taking the Word of God. I would like to believe that we are, but the Word of God does not suggest it to be true. Jesus said to Nicodemus, until you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't tell him he could get right into it. He said, you can't even see it until you're born again. All right. Then he went further to say to Nicodemus, until you are born of the Spirit and the water, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he didn't say that as soon as you're born of the water and the Spirit, in other words, as soon as you're baptized in water, as soon as you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you're automatically in the kingdom of God. It gives you now the qualifications to enter. You now have the ability to enter. And I believe the same principle applies to the body of Christ. You are not in the body of Christ until you are a functioning part of the body of Christ. I was thinking this morning I had a cousin that had a finger cut off in a lawnmower. I had a brother that had a finger cut off in a lawnmower too. But then later on, this same cousin lost more fingers in a corn picker. That he was reaching in, you know, trying to get the thing unjammed or something. It just started picking his hand. Well, when we were young, he was an older cousin. He was, 7 or 8 years older than me. And he took this finger and he put it in a jar and pickled it. And we would go to, this was Aunt Catherine and Uncle Charles. They lived over on the other side of Tug Hill. It was about a 30, 35, 40 miles away. We didn't go over there every day, but once in a while we'd have a big time that the families would get together, and we'd get together with their kids, and you know, they'd, and he would come out with this jar. Shake this thing up, you know, and he'd say, "This is my finger." And well, somehow it preserved.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like this. It was a shrunken looking little whitish thing, you know. But I'm thinking of the body of Christ. There are people who are separated from the body of Christ that are still saying, "I'm part of the body of Christ." Now, if you're separated from the body of Christ, if you are not receiving any life from the body of Christ, you are not part of the body. Yes, you can say, "My DNA says that I'm part of the body of Christ," but you're not there. You're not hooked on. You're not getting any blood. You're not getting any oxygen. You know, you're not getting any red blood cells. You're not getting any white blood cells. You're not getting any nourishment at all from the body. You have an independent spirit. You want to do your own thing. You do not respond to correction from the body of Christ. Come on, do you know people like that? If you so much as give a hint of correction, I mean, you don't even have to be blunt about it. Just a hint of it, and they're offended. Now, I'm defining what is and what isn't the body of Christ. Amen? There are whole church systems that are not of the body of Christ. There are whole religious systems. There are whole denominations. Now, within that denomination, I would say there could be a few people who really have a heart to be in the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. But if you continue in this system, you're going to lose it. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not a partaker of her plagues," because these systems are going down. They're going to fall. Nations are going to fall. Kingdoms are going to fall. Denominations are going to fall. Systems, organizations are going to fall. And if you remain a part of them, you are going down with them. Am I telling you what the Bible says or not?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's talk about members. I want to get into some positive things here. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. I was finishing that verse in chapter 11. Now we'll go on to chapter 12. Verse 12, okay? By the way, the verses just before this are a description of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the nine descriptions of the fruit of the Spirit. It's funny that it's nine, because nine sometimes also has another meaning, and I think it means judgment as well. But, amen. All right, so verse 12 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Okay? Did you catch that? Is that a difficult verse to understand? No, it shouldn't be too difficult. The body is one, the members are many. Alright? All the members belong to one body. One body, so is Christ. Now, there are not more than one body of Christ. That was bad English. There is not. There are not many bodies of Christ. Amen? That means there is only one Christ.
Amen.
I like that amen. Yes. There is only one Christ. There is only one head. Okay? Christ, the body of Christ cannot have other heads.
Amen. That's right.
Now, what is the definition of a head? The head is something that gives direction. The head is something that rules. The head is in command. The head is in control. All right. Can I demonstrate with my own body the function of the head? Here I am sitting at rest. My goodness, that stickiness is still here. Amen. I sit over here. I cleaned it too. Amen. Alright, I'm sitting at rest. The body is at rest. The body doesn't have anything to do except to keep itself from falling over. Amen. Now, the mind gives the body a command, rise up. You know that Christ sometimes tells us, rise up. Amen. Get ye up. Get ye in. Get ye out to battle. Amen. So the mind gives the command to the body. And so the body rises. Now that looks simple, didn't it? Are you aware of how many members had to come into concert in order for that to happen?
Wow.
Every member of my body had to be involved in rising my body up off of that chair.
Right.
The body had to move forward. Why? So that you will have your balance. If you start to rise like this, you're going to fall right over. So the body says, put the man in balance. The balance, there's little balance mechanisms in my inner ear. Did you know that?
That's right.
If you start acting dizzy and start falling over and stuff, something's gone wrong in your inner ear. One little tiny member that you don't even see and you're not even aware is there has to function for you to walk. So the back muscles have to push. It has to give him a little push, swing him forward. The leg muscles have to come into place. The arms are involved too, because they help swing the balance forward. I mean, the eyes have to function, because now we don't want the man to stumble on something as soon as he's got up. The eyes have to be discerning. The feet now have to come into a different position. The feet were at rest. Now, do you know that even my toes are important?
To balance,
the big toe, very important. I think I would miss it if I lost my little toe. You know what I mean? Everything is important in the body of Christ. But there is only one head, one brain that gives the signal, and it sends... I didn't even talk about the little chemicals, the little hormones, the little tiny chemicals that go from one little synapse of the brain to one little nerve cell to another nerve cell, and they jump little circuits across in my brain, send little circuits down the body. These are little chemicals that do this. Little tiny hormones that have to all instantly come into play for you to do and function as a body. Are we thinking about the body of Christ here? Now, let me go on to the next verse, because it's important that we understand this. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Now, this opens up the question of baptism. You are not baptized into an organization or into a denomination.
Amen.
Amen? I tell you what, Brother John understood that as soon as he got saved. I don't think he'd been under a whole lot of, influence of traditions of religion. He didn't get a whole lot of bad doctrine. But he understood it. And you know, the man came after me. I didn't go after him and say, oh, you got to be baptized now. The man came after me and he said, I want to be baptized. Hallelujah. I appreciate that, Brother John. Appreciate that day we were baptizing you too down there that Mohawk River. I'll never forget that day. I thought the water was going to wash us downstream. And it is I found out it is a mighty river. Just to go across the bridge, it doesn't look that bad. Then when you get down to that, you know what? I am not going to baptize anybody else in that Mohawk River. Not in the place we did it. Amen. All right. It says that we are all baptized into one body. What body are we baptized into?
Christ.
We are baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you function in that body, you're in that body.
Right.
In other words, you can get baptized into that body, but you're going to have to function in it. People get baptized, and that's the last thing you see of them. You never see them again. Where are they? Well, they're not in the body, but I baptized them into the body, but they went somewhere else. They're not there anymore. Amen? So, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. See, in other words, the body of Christ is not race. It's not national origin. It's not male or female. Amen? But it is righteousness.
Hallelujah.
You know, they're writing these bills of rights now, and they're writing other things that have nothing to do with our humanity. They're writing sin into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so whether we be bond or free, whether we have been all and have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now that means the body of Christ is a common partaker of one spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here again is the sad thing that the church, and when I say the church, I don't mean the true church. I mean the church systems are partaking of other spirits. There are other spirits other than the Holy Spirit that is influencing and ministering to the city of religion, Christian religion. All right, we know that that's not. We know the Holy Spirit is nowhere even close to the city, you know, to Muslim and Hindu and Buddha and that type of thing. But Christianity says that they believe in the Holy Spirit, and yet they are drinking of another spirit.
Right.
Now, if the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? Amen? Let's see. We're going to read a few more verses here. We're talking about the many members that are in the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, I think we've gone far enough with that one right there. Again, look at my body. Okay? It's because I don't have another one to demonstrate on, so I'll have to use mine. I don't want to use her. There are certain things that I do with my right hand, and there's certain things that I do with my left hand.
Right.
Now, when Glenn comes in this morning, I think I shook your hand, didn't I? Yeah, I did. I did John's too. What hand did I give you? I give you the right hand. Now, the other day we were down there in Philmont, and we wanted to say goodbye to John's wife. She had something in her right hand, and I had something in my right hand, and I reached my left hand out. I don't remember whether we actually touched with that hand or not. I think we probably did. But you see, my left hand doesn't get jealous of my right hand. My, you know, when I reach out to shake hands with you, suddenly jealousy rises up in the other hand. Come over here, John. Let me shake your hand. I just want to show you. You can do it with your shoes off. It's all right. You've got to go right back to your seat. Amen. No, it's my turn. I want to do it. You see, my left hand got jealous there and said, "No, I want to do it. You're always the one out there shaking hands. You go back now, John." Amen. And I'm not wearing it today because my finger swelled up, but I have a ring that I wear on my left hand. Now my right hand doesn't get jealous and say, "Oh, you've always got the gold. You know, what's the matter? I never get any gold on me." You know, it isn't complaining. There is no jealousy in the body of Christ. This one has its gift. This one has its gift. By the way, this is the one that shifts the shifting lever in the car, while this one is holding the steering wheel. We don't have any conflict. If we have conflict, I would never get anything done with my body.
Fight myself all the time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'd be fighting with ourselves. You know, when I eat food, every part of my body, my tongue is cooperating with my teeth. You know? Hallelujah. All right, so in the body, can you see we have need for growth in the body of Christ, don't we?
Always.
Let me take you to verse 25. Let me just read on down through. Okay, we'll get down there. And if verse 18. Where we left off with 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Amen. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him.
Praise God.
Not as it pleased me, not as it pleased you, but as it pleased him. Well, I wish I had been born an eye. Oh, why can't I be an eye?
There's a lot of people that are eyes out there.
You know, why do I have to be a hand? You know, no, as it pleased God. Why didn't I, you know, there was a time in my life that I complained. Why didn't I have the gift of thus and thus? I won't tell you what it was. And I was unhappy that I didn't have the gift. God, give me that gift. Oh, God, give me that. You know what? He didn't give it to me. You know why? Because I was as it pleased him. And he wasn't going to change it. I'm talking about things way long before any of you ever heard of me. All right? Now, and if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, the body of Christ is not just an arm.
Right.
It's a whole body.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
But now are they many members and yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Like, for instance, how many of you, when you get up and walk, are aware of that little balance mechanism in your inner ear functioning? You never even think of it. When you have a photograph taken, you never see that little member, do you? It's just hidden away there behind your ear. I could even examine your ear and I wouldn't see it. But if it doesn't function, you don't balance.
No, you don't.
You don't balance. You think of your ear as just being for hearing.
Right.
Oh, there's something else in there too.
Mm-hmm. Equilibrium.
Amen. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable than those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. How many of you are well aware of when the uncomely parts are hurting?
Oh, yeah.
And they don't function right?
You mentioned that, yes.
Yes. We don't need to mention what they are.
No.
We keep them under cover. We keep them under wraps because we say it was not polite to either reveal them or talk about them very much. And yet when we have a problem, we have to go to the doctor to get them taken care of. Because if they don't work, my body doesn't work. You know, when I have to go to motor vehicle this week. No, I already went there, didn't I? Yes, I went to motor vehicle this week. I had to get my picture taken again to renew my driver's license.
Right. So you must have just had a birthday.
I will have a birthday in July. The big 7-0.
Oh, boy.
But do you know what they photographed? Just here.
Your head.
Now, I couldn't walk in there and say, well, you know, my feet are feeling left out. Would you mind focus the camera down here? And we'll put that on my driver's license.
Yeah, all right.
And when the police stop me, I will show them. Say, this is me. This is my body. No, that's not the body part. The part that's going to get the honor is the one that is on the photograph of the driver's license.
You couldn't use your older picture too? You didn't have to have a picture taken?
No, I asked them. They said, no, I have to get a new one.
Oh, they did?
Wow. They are aware, apparently, in the state, that the body is deteriorating over time and that it's changing. And hair color is changing and wrinkles are coming where wrinkles didn't used to be. And they want it all to appear up to date. Amen. So, alright, now, it said we're talking about the abundant honor to that part which lacked. Alright? Verse 25, and I'm gonna finish on with this one here. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. What does the word schism mean? Give me another one word.
Division.
My body cannot suffer division. But you know the sad thing is, the body of Christ, or what we call the body of Christ, is divided. Now, I said what we call the body of Christ. How can Christ be divided? Are you listening to me? How can Christ be divided? He can't be divided. Therefore, that which is caused schism, is it the body of Christ? In other words, if I'm here and I'm in the body of Christ and you're over there and you say you're in the body of Christ and I say that Christ is not divided and I say that Christ, there's only one head, is this all the body of Christ? Somebody here is deceived. Somebody is saying, I'm in the body of Christ, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to quote Brother DeSeal, what is the meaning of denomination? It means division. Really. Its real meaning is division. I have different denominations of money. I think I still have some. Not many divisions. But it's division. It's breaking down money into segments of value. And this is what denomination does. It breaks down the body of Christ and says, well, we're a camp here, and we're a camp here, and we're a camp here. And I just read you what Brother Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit that says that there should be no schism in the body of Christ. Now verse 21, if we can go back to that, and I'll read that again. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. What kind of talk is this? One part saying, I don't need you. Another part saying, well, I don't need you either. It's called independence. Independence. Independence does not fly in the body of Christ. And I'm going to finish with an example for you of what happened when a man tried to be independent of the body. Okay? They weren't calling it the body of Christ then. Okay. Now let me go over to Ephesians, and I'm just going to read a lot of things that are going to sound a lot alike, but I just want to give you a lot of witnesses to the same thing. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. And it says that, and this is God, has put all things under His feet, amen, under the feet of Jesus, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now we're talking about the true church here. Not the organizations that man calls church, but the true church Christ is the head of. Okay? Which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So the true church is the body.
Amen.
Marilyn, did you get that?
Yes.
Okay. Because you had some questions last time. I read verse 23. Christ is the head over all things to the church, comma, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, we know that there's a false church system.
Right.
So we know that Christ is not the head of that church.
Amen.
That church has another head.
Yes.
Or heads.
Yes. Yes.
Many heads.
Yes, many.
So, I will never say that I'm the head of a church.
Amen.
Or could I ever say I'm the head of this church?
Amen.
I'm not even the head of this fellowship.
No. No.
Amen?
Amen?
It is Christ.
Amen.
I'm standing here because God put me here with a gift and a place in the body as it pleased Him.
Amen.
Not as it pleased me.
Alright,
so that's one verse. Now let me take you further in Ephesians, because Paul apparently has a lot to say in the book of Ephesians about the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4, verses 3. By the way, you're very familiar with chapter 4 of Ephesians. It's the fivefold ministry chapter. But I'm not going to go to that verse. I'm going to go to verses 3 through 5, where he says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to press in to keep that unity.
Amen.
So that we don't fall away from the body of Christ. Amen? There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Amen.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Amen.
And then they talk about the gifts. It's funny, isn't it, that every time he talks about the members, he talks about the gifts that belong to the members. By the way, you all have gifts.
Amen. Yes.
You should be coming in here together when we gather together to manifest your gifts. Not to manifest your flesh, but to manifest your gifts. Okay? And you know, people sometimes don't know the difference. Every manifestation of flesh is not necessarily the gift of the Spirit of God. All right, moving on. All right, same in chapter 4, same thing, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Why did he give these gifts?
Praise God.
Why did he give the ministry gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Why he gave them, it's in the same sentence.
Yes.
In the same sentence it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What purpose is the ministry? It's to edify and give life, strength, hope,
Amen.
Faith to the body of Christ.
Yes.
Okay? Go on to verse 13 here. How long will this ministry last? The ministry gifts? Till we all come in the unity of faith. Unity is the exact opposite of schism, isn't it?
Yes.
Schism is division. Unity is oneness.
Yes.
Now, we can't go and say, well, because the body of Christ, what should be the body of Christ, is in disunity, let's all go and ecumenicize and let's all join together with all the organizations. Let's get them all together, get all the pastors together, get everybody to a big prayer meeting together, and then we'll all be one.
Man.
See, this is man. This is man's attempt. We cannot be one if we don't believe the Word of God as one. Some of them are saying some of the things I've read here today, some of the things they're saying, well, we don't believe that. How can we be one if we don't believe what God said or is saying? Amen. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me just one little comment on this verse here. Till we come in the unity of faith. Many years ago, Janet and I went to the Czech Republic. We stayed there for quite a while. I think we were there at least 6 weeks. And while we were there, a woman that had been coming to the meetings, where we actually lived there. We had an apartment and everything there. It was a really nice place. A woman came to the meetings and she said, there are other people here in Prague that believe the same way as you do. I said, oh wow, I'd like to meet them. I want to meet people. I mean,
yeah.
We're laboring with somebody else here in Prague. We don't even know who they are. They're preaching the same thing you are. And so, sure enough, the people showed up. And as they started talking, they said, well, tell us a little about what you believe. And I think I fell on this 11th verse. I said, well, we believe in the gifts of apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. The guy stopped me right there. He says, no. There aren't any more apostles and prophets. I said, what? Oh yeah, he says, they're all done away with. I said, well, how can that be? I mean, are you saying that we have all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and into a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? I said, are we all? Oh yes, we are.
Oh.
I said, well, how can that be? You and I don't even agree. He says, well, because the Bible has all been written, it's all finished.
Oh.
But I said, but we're not agreeing about it.
Yeah.
He says, well, I said, we believe in apostles.
Right.
He said, show me an apostle.
You're looking at one.
No, I wasn't an apostle. No. He says, I said, well, we have a brother who's an apostle, and he's going to be here in a couple of weeks. He says, well, will he raise the dead? I said, I don't know. Bring the dead and find out. Poor Seth. I put him in a hard spot. Here they come dragging in a dead body. Raise the dead, brother. Prove you're a real apostle. No. I mean, you see how people can so misunderstand. Because they have a doctrine, it started off because they have no more life of the Spirit in their organization.
Right.
And because they have no more life of the Spirit, then they have to explain why they don't have it. Because we don't have any apostles, because we don't recognize them, therefore our doctrine is that they all died off when John died.
No.
He was the last one.
No.
And then they say, oh, the gifts of tongues, oh, that all died out after that generation died. No, it didn't. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean it's all dead.
Right.
So, amen. Now the last verse, 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is an example of doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. The Bible didn't say that these ministry gifts are going to die out when the last of the 12 apostles die. It says they're going to continue till we all come.
Amen.
And till we all come doesn't mean just when the Bible is finished being written.
Right.
Oh, how you can come up with such is beyond me.
No,
all right, now chapter 5, also of the same book, verse 22, and I'm not going to preach on wives and husbands here, but I want to read the verses here to show you the unity of the body. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, by the way, that doesn't say to somebody else's husband. It says your own husband. Oh, you want 25 thrown in there. All right, that's a good one. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What we're talking about, again, here is another picture of the true body.
Yes.
All right, the true body of Christ has one head. A wife has only one natural husband head. She doesn't have many, okay? Only one. And therefore, her loyalty, her submission is only to him. And his loyalty is only to his wife.
Amen.
Christ does not have another body somewhere. He doesn't have another wife. There's only going to be one bride of Christ. Amen? And that's the one I want to be part of. Amen. Go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Paul repeats a lot of these things in these epistles that he's writing. All right? I just want to give you another witness. Colossians 1 verse 15. Hallelujah. We're talking about Christ now. All right? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Did you hear that? Christ is the image of the invisible God. You know, I have so many times wondered, are we ever going to see God the Father?
Spirit to spirit.
I have a feeling that in our natural eyes we never will.
No, we won't. No. That's why Jesus.
We're going to see Jesus.
Yes, we are. Amen.
And he is the express image of the Father.
Yes.
So I'm not going to go up to Jesus and say, well, I need to see the Father.
You see him.
This is what, wasn't it Andrew that said, show us the Father?
Yeah.
And he said, was it Andrew?
Yeah.
I think it was Andrew. And he said, what?
See me.
You've seen me all this time? You've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Now that means, brethren, when you read the Gospels, you are reading the words of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
It isn't just correct to say that just Jesus said that, but did the Father really agree with him? Yes,
Jesus.
The Father said it.
Jesus.
If Jesus said it, the Father said it.
Jesus said, "I say nothing."
Amen. All right.
I'll say it first.
Yeah. Okay. Now, for by him, Yeah, here we are. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And now here's the verse we're looking for. And he is the head of the body, comma, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. No, he is the head of the body, the church. Now again, we're talking about the true church, those that are under the headship of Jesus Christ. If you're not under the headship of Jesus Christ, you're not in the true church. All right, you're in some organization. All right, chapter 3 of Colossians. I think I've got the wrong verse written down here. I'm looking for the verse that says there's one body.
If it's 3:1.
Well, I'm looking for the one body. Believe me, it's here somewhere. It's in the third chapter. Oh, yes, of course. I have 15 written down. I'm looking at chapter 2, verse 15, and saying it doesn't fit. Yes, all right. Get your eyes on chapter 3, Brother Mark. Yes, verse 15. Thank you, sister. Amen. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Go to Romans. This is the last that we're going to read from. Would be Romans. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 4. Let me read verse 3. I think it kind of goes with it. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. How many of you know every man has been dealt a measure of faith? Is there anyone here that has ever said, I don't have faith? Don't say it.
No, amen.
Because God says every man has been given a measure of faith.
Amen. Yes.
All right?
Yes.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that word office should actually say function. My body doesn't have offices. It's a bad translation. Every member does not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then it goes on, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Then it goes on with the other gifts. I like in verse 10. Let's go down to verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissembling. Yeah, I was going to go back further. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means hypocrisy. We don't use that word dissimulation anymore, do we? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. What's that mean? In honor, preferring one another. That means nobody's pushing their way to the front. That means we're not trying to climb up the ladder and push somebody else down. We're giving preference one to another. Now, I'm thinking of two examples as I close here. I'm thinking of Samson. First of all, you know the story of Samson. Mighty. Man with a mighty body. What was the key to the strength that this man had?
Hair.
His hair. And his hair was on his what?
Head.
And so therefore his hair represented
Christ.
A covering. He was covered. And he, the instructions that were given was that his hair was never to be cut.
Right.
Which means that his covering was to be perfect and complete and never cut.
Right.
And what happened when he got deceived by this Jezebel-spirited woman? Delilah, the harlot. See, Delilah was a harlot.
Right.
And the harlot church is deceptive, is it not?
Right.
And the harlot church is going to take away our covering and our head.
Right.
And she's going to substitute it with some other kind of head. But when that covering is removed, the power and the life is removed as well.
Right.
And Samson lost it all.
Right.
Not only did he lose it, but he was blinded.
Right.
He no longer had the ability to see.
Right.
You know, one of the most, I hate to put importance on gifts, but if you've lost that gift of sight, how are you going to be able to walk?
Right.
How, you can't read.
No.
There's so much you can't do when you've lost. And he lost a key gift when he lost his covering, when he lost, shall we say, his headship. And he became weak as any man. And they gave him the job of grinding corn.
Right.
Grinding, 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 grinding. Just can you see this? Can you see this dead religion? Just grinding it out.
Grinding.
Just grinding it out.
Yeah.
Grinding out the corn. What's the corn? It's the bread. It's the bread that feeds people.
Right.
Just grind it out. Grind it out. Grind it out. One after another. Okay, here we go again. Another day. Another grind out. You know, and this is what Samson had to do day after day. Grinding corn. Grinding corn. Until one day his covering came back. The mercy and the grace of God gave it back to him. Didn't give him back his sight.
Right.
But he took vengeance for the loss of his sight. For my eyes' sake. He took that place down. He brought the house down. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, another man that I think of.
It'll happen again.
And the man is Achan. You remember what happened to Achan? Achan is a picture of independence. Now, they were given strict instructions with Jericho that there were certain things in the city of Jericho that they were not to touch. It belonged to God. But Achan, on his own, saw some things. What is it? I'm not going to bring a whole word on Achan, but let me just bring a little remembrance here of what happened to Achan. Yeah, there were three things. There were three things that happened. What were they? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Yeah. Three steps to Achan's fall. It's over in Joshua chapter 7. I'm not going to read it all, but he says, I saw, I coveted, I took. Do you remember that? Three, this is independence now. I'm talking to you. What happens when a man has a spirit of independence in him? I'm not part of that body. You know, they're this and they're that. I'm over here. I'm you know, they're all wrong, and I'm the only one that's right. But this was Achan. They were given strict instructions. He saw. So the first, this is his steps of his downfall. The first thing was the lust of the eye, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He lusted. He coveted. Mm-hmm. He coveted. He wanted what he lusted for,
mm-hmm.
and he went ahead and took it.
Mm-hmm. Got in trouble.
You see, you say, well, what's wrong with a little lust, as long as you don't do anything about it?
Not good.
Not good. It's the first step of a downfall.
Yes, amen.
Next thing you know, you're going to want it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're going to go ahead and take it.
You sin.
And it applies to just about every aspect of sin you can imagine.
Right. Amen.
That involves the lust.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, he did three things. It's all a matter of threes. He took the accursed thing. He stole, and he dissembled it. He hid it. There were three things that he took.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick little lesson here on this fellow. There were three things that he took. Do you know what they were? Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, 50 shekels of gold. And he buried it in his tent.
Mm-hmm.
He buried it in his tent. And then they had to cast lots. Bring a representative of all the tribes. 12 tribes. Okay? One of them's gonna draw the short stick.
Right.
I don't know how they did it. His tribe got it. Alright? Bring it down to the subsets of the tribe. Bring it down to the families. Achan's family. And Joshua says to Achan, I should read it here. He says, give God, where did he say this? Was it 19? Yeah. You got it, brother. Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. The man is going to die for his sin, and Joshua says to the man, give glory to the Lord God of Israel by confessing your sin.
Right.
And of course he did. He was caught.
Yeah.
He was caught.
Right.
Here's the sad thing about it. Here's the result. Now the end result of his independence. See, because this is a picture of the body of Christ now. The whole army of Israel, well, not the whole army, but a substantial part of the army of Israel, went out to the next city of Ai. It was a small city. It wasn't nearly as big as Jericho. They went out there, and these people came out of Ai. I don't know if I'm saying it right. The people came out and drove the children of Israel back and killed some of them. Came out like a bunch of hornets, and the children of Israel could not fight. Where did God say, verse 11, Joshua was on his face. The Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. You see, chapter 7 of Joshua, verse 11, Israel hath sinned.
Mm-hmm.
God said the whole of Israel has sinned, but it was only one man. Do you see how God sees the body?
It affects the body.
One man in an army of a million men,
right,
of a camp of 2 million people,
right,
one man sinned, and God said,
right,
the nation has sinned.
Right.
And the nation cannot fight against their enemies because... Let me read verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Because there was sin in the body could not face their enemies. Now that's the result of one independent man that had his own ideas. He jeopardized the whole nation. Man, think about what's going on in the body today. Or what's called the body. You see, there's a first time occurrence in which God deals with all these things, and He deals hard. But He doesn't always do it after that. But the principle is always laid down the first time. The way God really sees it is always laid down. After that, He's merciful, doesn't kill everybody.
Well, he'd
be killing a lot of people all the time.
Yeah.
If he dealt that way. I mean, the first man that went out and broke the Sabbath, the man was stoned.
Right.
People have broken it a zillion times since then. They weren't all stoned.
Right.
But this man now, himself, his family, and God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that they took his family, his wife and his kids out and stoned them too? I'm thinking, God, my flesh says, the wife? Maybe she didn't even know. The kids? Oh, I mean, come on, they're kids.
Send the generations, it leads to each generation.
You see?
Send the genes.
God is saying the thing has to be completely and totally rooted out of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Redeem the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I think you see another picture of the body of Christ. And that's basically what we wanted to share today. God bless you.
Amen.